Now we can call it the W-shaped economy. W for weird. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, Senate Democrats got a big win yesterday with the passing of their sweeping health care and climate bill. It has tax and other incentives to push clean energy and efficiency. Meanwhile, economic prognosticators are still trying to puzzle out the federal government's surprisingly strong report on hiring from Friday that showed hiring about twice as high as expected in July. To start the week, let's consult economist Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, a lot out of Washington here over the weekend, especially the Senate, and also people are still getting hired. How do you put it together?
It's a weird economy. It's both very strong and resilient. That's the labor market. It's also still very disrupted. So we have all of the COVID shocks that are still rippling through our supply chains and keeping prices high on a lot of things. So there's inflation, there's jobs, and now there's a lot of structural reform and investment coming through the Inflation Reduction Act.
So the Inflation Reduction Act, I mean, that's the title they've given this thing, but it does have a lot of money to incentivize green energy, but also energy efficiency.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's some serious investment in the energy transition, which is sorely needed, as well as some elements that will bring down medical costs for households, not quickly, but over time.
Julia Coronado, founder and president, Macro Policy Perspectives. Thanks for the briefing.
My pleasure.
In early stock trading, the Dow is up 273 points, 0.8%. The S&P 500 is up 0.9%. The NASDAQ up 1.4%. The debt of U.S. consumers went up by $40 billion May to June. People are borrowing so they can keep spending amid prices that are outpacing the bumps in their paychecks. And the U.S. Central Bank is raising interest rates, which can make paying back that debt more expensive. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Even though interest rates have been rising, there's still a lot of demand for mortgages, home equity lines of credit, and business loans at Bay State Savings Bank in Massachusetts. CEO Peter Alden says his customers' finances seem pretty healthy.
Our delinquency rates are still low, and our backlog of business is still strong.
But lately, Alden's been thinking that could change in the coming months.
I just have a feeling between, you know, increased costs of everything, that delinquency would have to go up as people are trying to, still put food on the table and, heat their homes for this coming winter and all of that.
One sign that delinquencies could rise, consumers are saving half as much money as they were a year ago. Myra Rodriguez-Valladares with MRV Associates says many people have been dipping into their existing savings.
So they need more cash to pay off credit cards. They need more cash to pay that gasoline, you know, any of their loans. And so what that means is you're going to also start quite likely seeing reductions in deposits at banks.
As a result, Valladares says lenders have been taking steps to make sure they're prepared for more delinquent loans.
And so that means that banks have additional capital that they have to allocate for unexpected losses. And certainly it means that they have to increase their loan loss reserves.
In other words, how much cash banks set aside in case their existing loans go bad.
We are trying to stress test the portfolios, heavily and just run models on what could happen in case the performance of certain types of borrowers decline.
That's Dominic Miartan, CEO of Optus Bank in South Carolina. He says the bank has been taking a closer look at new borrowers and the loans it's already made.
We are trying to read the tea leaves just like everyone else is.
So far, he says the bank's loan approval rate hasn't really changed much. But even though his customers' balance sheets are still looking strong, he says it's better to prepare when times are good. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Also, following the tax loophole for hedge fund managers that seems to have cracked the secrets of immortality, the carried interest tax credit lives on in that massive climate taxation and prescription drug pricing bill that's now passed the Senate. The Financial Times reviewed the campaign fundraising numbers and found that the carried interest deduction's biggest champion, Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, got more than $500,000 from Wall Street notables who presumably favored keeping the loophole. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York raised nearly $1.3 million from people in the private equity industry, but he says he fought hard, yet unsuccessfully, to close their hedge fund benefit. China just reported that its exports in July grew at the fastest pace of the year, up 18% in a year. But this alone might not be enough to sustain growth in China's economy. Here's Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai.
China's exports grew in part because there is a lot of catching up to do. Shanghai, a key manufacturing and transport hub, was under a strict COVID lockdown in April and May. Those restrictions have been mostly lifted. Cargo is moving in and out at the Shanghai port again. But other Chinese cities are under lockdown. There's also the Ukraine war, the U.S.-China trade tariffs. All of these factors drive up the cost of freight and delay delivery. So shops around the world are placing their orders earlier to Chinese factories so that their shelves are stocked by Christmas. Are exports going to remain rosy? Well, let's look at imports, because a lot of parts China buys gets assembled and then re-exported as finished products. Imports were up 2.3% in July from a year earlier, pretty weak. Going forward, some analysts say exports might not be as robust. There are so many challenges facing the Chinese economy that officials here are no longer talking about a growth target of 5.5% for the year. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
The company iRobot makes the self-driving vacuum, the Roomba, and Amazon makes the robot assistant Alexa. Now Amazon is buying iRobot for $1.7 billion. How might all these robots get along? Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has that.
With Amazon's purchase of iRobot,
you know, they're getting this company with this proven track record of making robots work for normal people.
Robin Murphy is a roboticist at Texas A&M. She says that's hard because robots like things to be predictable.
And people don't fit that in pets and people's houses and underwear on the floor and stuff doesn't.
Roombas have been dealing with underwear on the floor for 20 years now. The purchase represents a chance for Amazon to expand its presence in the home. Adam Wright is with the market research firm IDC.
So as a consumer purchases a smart speaker from a particular brand, we know that then they are more likely to purchase another device from that brand.
Amazon already sells a smart oven, thermostat, and security system, which are all sources of revenue and consumer data. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
Disclosure, Amazon is one of the underwriters of this program. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.